All of us are influenced by the religious climate that we have all come out of. Many of us were raised in the denominations. All of us have spoken with good friends and neighbors who are part of the denominations. And so we've all, to one degree or another, been confronted with the idea that God's grace is sufficient, and there's really nothing that we need to or should think that we can do. And that if in some way or another we give ourselves too much credit, then we are removing the glory that God should receive. And so in the denominational world especially, the idea is that God called us, God drew us, God saved us, and God will cause us to grow. And there's very little that we could be doing. And if somehow we think that working with God is a part of the responsibility and obligation that we have, it's a doctrine that came down from the Middle Ages called synergy, which means working together. And the idea of us working together with God is something that many people that we are going to talk with would feel that we're taking too much, that somehow we are lessening the grace of God. And so this lesson is a lesson I designed many years ago to counter that by looking at how God created us in the first place and how the gifts of grace that he has given to us in the material creation are exactly the same in quality and kind as the gifts and grace that he has given us in the spiritual creation, and that the dominion that he wants us to take is completely up to us. And I believe the gospel is exactly the same as the initial creation. And so we're going to begin by looking at the initial statements that are found in the scriptures, and that is that God created the heavens and the earth. That the earth was without form and void, and of course we weren't there. And even if we were there, we would have nothing that we could do in this process. This is something that only God could do. Just like Jesus dying on the cross, only God could devise that. So when the earth was without form and God, we had to let God do his work. Just like when we were enemies and we were in sin, we needed God to reconcile us to him. When God said, "Let there be light," when God said, "Let the firmament appear and the plants and the stars and the animals and the fish and the birds," then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. None of that is anything that we have any control over. None of that is anything that we can say that we have helped God in that respect. We all accept that the material creation was created exclusively by God and with the intentions of what God wanted done with them. But what was God's intent? Did God want us to be fully dependent upon him? And by fully dependent, I mean we just stay in the house waiting for God to bring us our food, waiting for God to give us the things that we need, building our home and taking care of all of our needs. That's not exactly what he did. He wanted us to work, and he wanted us to take the initiative. And I really believe that's what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. We are not animals totally dependent upon God for the things that we need and have. We are in his image and after his likeness. And so God said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And so we have dominion. We have dominion over the fish and the birds. But not only do we have dominion over the fish and the birds, we also have dominion over all of the earth. And we have the command to subdue it, which means to bring it into our control. And this is something that God wanted us to have. He wanted us to take the initiative. And the more initiative we take, the more blessed we are. Those who sow bountifully in their educational opportunities are going to reap bountifully. Those who sow sparingly are going to reap sparingly. Those who are involved in activities where they put everything into it, they are going to be blessed. In the Proverbs, he talks about the sluggard and he talks about the people who are hardworking. And he simply accepts the grace of God, which gave us the material creation, the grace of God that gave us a body, the grace of God that gave us a soul, the grace of God that gave us the physics and chemistry and the ability to work with them. That's God's grace. But what we do from that point onward is what God is interested in. He does not want us to stop working and somehow that'll give him more glory. It doesn't give God glory if we take his material creation and take dominion over it. Well, that's as false as it could be. And the point that I want to make here in just a few moments is that God gave us a spiritual creation and he gave us a spiritual ability to take dominion over those things. And the glory to God comes not from being a sluggard, not from waiting for God to do things for us. It's exactly the opposite. The glory that God receives is based on the effort that we put in. And so the denominations have it completely backwards. The more effort we put in, the more God's grace shines. The more effort we put in, the more God is glorified. Look at the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, where he speaks of putting his all into this. Not that I've already obtained, not that I'm already perfected, but I press on to reach toward the glory of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the material creation and the physical creation are identical. We glorify and praise him through dominion. And so grace and dominion are one and the same. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. I created the earth in such a way that you can take dominion." Now, in the next slide, or in a couple of slides, we'll talk about how we took dominion with electricity, with chemistry, with physics, with anatomy and physiology, things that Adam and Eve probably knew, but which were lost over the decades and centuries in between. And yet, God has given dominion, and man's efforts have pulled that dominion out. And so, God created us in his image means that we can create just like he did. Now, our creative ability is limited to the things that he's given to us. But the reality is that you and I, if we put in the initiative and we put forth the effort, we can create. We created lights. We created a computer. We created the ability to do surgery on the brain. We created the ability. Where did these things come from? Well, they weren't given to us by grace, and yet they were given to us by grace. God created the heavens and the earth in such a way that we can make painkillers. We can create things that will lower blood pressure, things that will extend our life. We can devise ways to enter into a human body and fix things that are broken. Now, these are acts of dominion. And God wanted us to have that dominion. As a matter of fact, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion." So God wants us to take the things that he has given to us and use them to build upon. And so that third point there, it was a gift to have a part in bringing it into submission to our will. I consider that to be one of the greatest gifts God gave to us. Is the ability not to just be slaves. Is the ability to have a part in our destiny, both in the material creation and in the physical creation. Some people come from the womb And they work, and with their diligence and their zeal, they build an empire. Other people sit back and do nothing. Would you say that the people who sit back and do nothing are taking better advantage of God's grace than those who, like Thomas Edison, go on to discover great things? Who gave God more glory? Who revealed the power of the material creation that God gave us better? People like Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, the people who are Bill Gates, the people who are devising these amazing things that we have today, they are manifesting the absolute amazing power that God has given into our hands. And so technology should be something that causes us to praise God. And again, what an amazing act of grace. We didn't do anything to deserve or merit being born into this world. We certainly didn't do anything to merit God creating the heavens and the earth in such a way that we can have dominion and that we can build with it the way that we choose to do so. And so God gave us the joy of conquering a challenge, the goal, the opportunity. And no one can deny that in the material creation, this is the case. And so when we think about dominion, we do have dominion now over hot and cold. We have dominion over light and darkness in a way that people in previous generations didn't have. Now, it's always been here. And by grace, it was always available to us. Electricity was always harnessable. And we've always had freon and natural gas. We've always had petroleum and the ability to refine it to be able to create these things. It's always been here. But it took man's efforts to bring it into being. And what I would submit to you is the gospel is the same thing, and that those of us who are using the gospel, we are finding abilities and opportunities to glorify God in a way that you couldn't even imagine, because the power of the gospel is similar to the power of the material creation. We have dominion over travel. With oil, electricity, physics, and chemistry, we have devised cars and planes and ships that are powered, and there's nowhere we can't go. We can even go to the moon. We can even go to Mars. We can send out satellites. We can send out rocket ships into the farthest parts of the universe. At least they'll get there eventually. We have dominion. I don't know if Adam and Eve knew about all these things or if God just put them in there knowing, but can you imagine God thinking all this stuff up? Thinking up electricity and our ability to use it? Thinking up the power of using atomic or using nuclear fission? Of using nuclear fusion, the ability to do brain surgery, the ability to take these things. We have dominion over distance with metal and electricity, with silicon. Again, God created these in the beginning. And we've devised cell phones, and we've devised the internet, and we've devised television. These were things God created for us to discover and for us to take dominion over. And the glory and praise that should go to Him for doing that for us, that's an act of grace. We have dominion over information with satellites. Who could have imagined that you could push a button and type in a few words and it'll tell you exactly where it is and it will give you the information to get there, which roads to take? It is not in man that walks to direct his steps, but with a few satellites and a GPS, we know exactly where. It's always been here. Adam and Eve could have done it. This isn't something that God devised after the fact. These are classic examples of our ability to take dominion. We have dominion over pain and disease and injury. Now, I realize that with all of these, it's a limited dominion. He didn't make us equal to Him, but He made us in His image. And He gave us the ability to create just like He did. He gave us the ability to use His tools. Do we think it's a sin? Some people thought it was a sin to try to learn how to fly. They thought it was wrong for us to develop surgeries and all these things. But it wasn't. But I find it fascinating that in the beginning, God gave all of this to us. But it was up to us to take advantage of it. The grace was there. The power was there. The tools and the elements and the materials were there. And it's through His creative genius that we have all of these things. So who would say that in the material creation we should be content with the grace that gave us what we have? We should be content to live with fire for heat and light and a candle, and we should be content to cook our food over an open flame, and we should be content to die young because antibiotics shouldn't be used, and we should be content to heal a bone the way ever it wants to heal without... That's folly. But that's exactly what people in the denominational realm are telling us we should be doing with the gospel. We should allow God to do these things for us, and we shouldn't think that somehow our efforts have any part in this at all. It is taking glory away from God if we say that we have a part in salvation. And yet it took no glory away from God to say that we have a part in the material creation. And all of the technology that we are using today is a testimony to taking the grace of God, using our own efforts, and creating things that make our lives so much easier. And I believe that's an important thing that we need to consider. We were created in the image and likeness of God, and that does reveal the greatness that God had in mind for us. And one of the things that I think all of us have noticed through the years is that as we gain control over a certain thing, we learn to appreciate the efforts of the person who made it possible for us to do that. And the same thing is true with God. We would never understand fully the creative genius of God, but being able to be doing what He is doing helps us to see that. And God wanted us to share the joy that He feels. Can you imagine how wonderful it must have been to look at everything He made in Genesis chapter 1 and say, it's all very good. It's perfect. And now He's given us the same opportunities. He gave us intellect. He gave us materials over the challenges that we face. He made it possible. But Adam and Eve were not placed in electric homes with lights and sewer. These were things possible through our efforts. It took centuries of hard work to do it. So the truth about dominion, and I don't want to belabor this, you can kind of scan through this, this is really not my point. This is a parable. The parable of the material creation. You know, all of Jesus' parables, kind of fascinating, but all of Jesus' parables regarding the material creation perfectly illustrate the spiritual creation. So why wouldn't our initial creation and the initial grace and mercy that were given to us in allowing us to have these things not function in the material realm as well, or in the spiritual realm as well? So these are the questions. Did God remove dominion after we sinned? Now, John Calvin and multitudes of denominations, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, these are people who were influenced by his teaching, Episcopalians. They believe in total depravity, which means we are born with no creative ability. We are born with nothing. We are completely depraved. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can't even think properly. There's nothing we can do. We couldn't use the gospel even if we wanted to, because we don't have the ability. So God had to decide back in eternity which ones of us he would save and which ones he would leave. And we have no initiative at all. We have no say. It's all up to God. We have to wait for God. God wants us, he'll make it known to us. We have no ability. We have no creative ability. He only died, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but the point is that John Calvin teaches a salvation that is very different from the material creation. In the material creation, we have a lot that we can do. But in the spiritual creation, there's nothing that we could do. And we would be removing glory from God if we thought that there was something. They used to have terrible debates over this. Back in the 4th and 5th centuries, Arminius and Pelagius battled over, does man have anything to do with salvation? And the Pelagians taught pretty much what we're talking about today. They taught that we can use the gospel to strengthen and make ourselves better. And that was considered heresy. And Arminius won. And Augustine built upon that. And so have so many of the reformers. And so we have an attitude in the spiritual realm which is one of resignation, which is one of we just have to wait for God to help us with this, instead of realizing and understanding that that's not the case at all. So for them, all dominion was removed forever. We don't have a mind. We don't have a choice. We don't have dominion over it. We wait in darkness for God to do everything for us because we can't do anything. That's what they teach. Now, I realize that the material creation can't be used to refute this, but I'm saying that the principles are similar. And so, is this consistent with how God created? And I'm not going to read all those other points. You can scan them real quickly, but I just want to look at that last one. What did the Holy Spirit reveal about this? What kind of power do we have over our eternal destiny? What power do we have to create things in our life through the scriptures that will help us to grow and develop ourselves? And the answer is a tremendous amount. Let's turn over. You can read behind me, or you can turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, because 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 are just like Genesis chapter 1. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, that's just like Genesis chapter 1. His divine power gave us all things over which we could take dominion, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might, doesn't say you will be, this isn't up to God. It's up to us. Having electricity was not up to God. It was up to us. He made it possible, but it was up to us to find it. God has given us the ability to become partakers of the divine nature. Now, how far we go from the marred image that we have developed through our foolish decisions since our youth back to this beautiful, creative man and woman in the garden who are after the image and likeness of God, that's up to us. And it's our fault, brethren, if we don't reach it, because we should be working toward it. It won't be God's fault if we can't conquer our lusts. It won't be God's fault if we can't learn how to pray without ceasing, if we can't master and add to our faith, if we can't put on the whole armor of God, if we can't use the gospel to develop ourselves into spiritually mature people. That's what God wanted us to do. We can become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's what Jesus died for on the cross. That's what he made possible. Just like Jesus created the material creation, he created the spiritual creation. He created the scheme of redemption. Jesus, by his power, as the Word, who was with God and was God, created chemistry and physics. He created electricity and natural gas. He created oil. He created metals and silicon and all of the things that we have. And he gave the principles by which we could take dominion over all of these things. When he came the second time, as was read in the Lord's Supper this morning, he emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant so he could come and do this. Give us back all things that pertain to life and godliness. Absolutely, brethren, we could do nothing without the blood of Christ and without the grace of God and without the gospel. Just like we could do nothing without the grace of Christ and the power of the material creation that he gave to us when he was the Word. And it's only by his divine power that the exceedingly great and precious promises were given in Genesis chapter 1. Take dominion. The fish are yours. The birds are yours. The trees are yours. Physics is yours. Chemistry is yours. The earth is yours. Subdue it. Bring it into your power. Take what you want from it. I've given it to you as a gift. Precious and exceedingly great promises. What I'm saying is the material creation and the spiritual creation follow the same rules. And the gospel and the promises that were given in Genesis chapter 1 are identical. And so when Peter says this was what God did for us, then we turn to the next verse and we'll start seeing the similarities. In the original creation, the grace of God gave us all we needed. And by promise and method of creation, he gave dominion. Without our effort, no dominion is given or gained. The scheme of redemption, by grace, God gave us all things needed. By promises and method of redemption, he gave us dominion. And now, without our effort, no dominion is given or gained. So we go to the next verses. He says, yea, and for this very reason, adding on your part. Well, that's exactly what we found in Genesis chapter 1. Because of the material creation and because I've given you the power to have dominion, add on your part. Make electricity, make light bulbs, make computers, make cell phones, make airplanes, make ships, make satellites. You can do whatever you can figure out how to do. That's the material creation. But for this very cause, adding on your part in the spiritual creation, all diligence in your faith, you supply the virtue. We have the dominion to supply the virtue. We have the materials to supply the virtue, just like we did in the material creation. But brethren, without our effort, without our diligence, without our adding on our part, we're going to be in the same situation the people were before Thomas Edison figured out how to use electricity to make a light. And there's a lot of Christians out there who have no clue how to make virtue. They have no clue what virtue is. Just like some people, you say, what's electricity? Well, they didn't know. Well, lightning is a form of electricity. We don't want that. We don't like lightning. It's dangerous. Virtue is added through the gospel, through our efforts. Knowledge is added. Yes, the information's in the scriptures, but we'll never know it unless we put forth the effort to learn it, just like in the material creation. You know, what we learn by the second and third grade is more than most people could have ever comprehended in the Middle Ages. They didn't even know how to read. They didn't know history or geography or chemistry or physics. They didn't understand those things. We have the scriptures. The scriptures give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The scriptures were once for all delivered. And the man of God can be complete, furnished for every good work, if he adds knowledge to his faith. But if we don't, I'll just wait for God to pour it into my head. Well, brethren, we're never going to get anywhere. How could we think that that person's giving more glory to God? The person who says, I can't do anything, and I'm just going to wait for God to do it for me. How is he going to give God more glory than the person here who's adding virtue to their faith and knowledge to their virtue? Self-control is something that we add. We should understand that. The word self means I'm not relying on God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that without God's help, but the help, just like in the material creation, is in here for us to dig out, just like it was in the material creation for us to dig out. Patience. Count it all joy when you fall into manifold trials, knowing that the proving of your faith will work patience. Well, not me. I'm going to wait for God to give it to me. I'm just going to wait because I don't want to take the glory away from God. I don't want anybody to think that we have anything to do with our salvation, so we'll just wait for God. How can people think that's giving God the glory? Genesis 1 and 2 Peter 1 mirror each other. Genesis 1, by His divine power, all things were given to us to take dominion. In 2 Peter 1, all things were given to us to take dominion over life and godliness. They mirror each other. The material creation and plan for our redemption are exactly the same. God wants us to have the challenge of taking our soul and reforming it to what it should have been in the first place, and the gospel gives us the power to do that, but some people never take advantage of it and they never grow. We see some people come out of the water of baptism, like the Apostle Paul, and it's just an upward trajectory. Other people, they don't do anything. Is that God's fault? Oh, God loved this guy. God gave him everything he has. He was elected. You, God didn't care about you at all. How is that giving God the glory? Then he says this. If these things are yours. God did his part in verses 3 and 4. He gave us the means and the motivation. He gave us the opportunities. He gave us the tools to take dominion. But in verses 5 through 6, he makes it very clear that you have to add on your part and you have to be diligent, because if these things are yours, and again, they're yours not because of what God did, because God did it all for everyone. It's because of what you did. You know, when I go to Africa, I find people who are living without electricity and without all these comforts. And I ask them, why don't you guys do something to gain these things? And they're not interested. They're not interested in putting forth the effort. They'd like to have it. But the vast majority of them are not interested in doing the work to get it. And until they become interested in it, nobody's going to go do it for them. They have to do it for themselves. That's the way our country was established, on what we call rugged individualism. In other words, if you want to make something of yourself, and that's what a lot of people all over the world, they know, if they can come to America, you can make something of yourself, because we have made an environment where these things are possible. In the rest of the world, many countries in this world, you can't do those things. But even here we have poverty. Well, why do we have poverty in America? Because some people use the tools and some people don't. It's not a question of the nation's fault. If somebody's poor here, it's their fault. He who lacks these things is blind, God says, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Is that God's fault if we're blind? No, Peter says it's your fault. If you lack these things, and you're supposed to add these things, then you're going to be blind. In other words, what God is telling us in the spiritual creation is, I want you to take dominion. I want you to see. I want you to be able to take dominion. I want you to, verse 10, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. What if we don't? Will that be God's fault? Can we honestly say that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God? So anybody who reads 2 Peter and takes it at face value is not giving God the glory. And we need to understand something. We can't do anything, because if we could do something, we wouldn't be giving God the glory. And that just isn't true. We are where we are because of the grace of God and our own personal efforts. And some of us are farther along and some of us aren't. It has nothing to do with anything but the efforts we're putting in to accomplish it. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. If you don't do these things, you will stumble. For thus, or in this manner, shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom. Peter places our entrance into the eternal kingdom upon our efforts to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. That's why we need to learn what they are. Because what Peter is saying is that the entire gospel, the gospel in its entirety, can be found in those seven things. Because how could he say this if there was something else? If there was something else we needed outside of those seven things, how could he say, if you do these things, you'll never stumble? How could he say, you will be richly supplied the entrance into the eternal kingdom? Everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everything Jesus taught, everything in the Gospels, everything in the Epistles, everything Paul wrote, everything Peter wrote, all summed up in virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. For if these things are yours, you will not be idle or unfruitful. You will not be blind. You will not forget the cleansing from your sins. If you give the more diligence to add these seven things, you will make your calling and election sure. So it's exactly the same. Now, some Christians have a spirit that has electricity, has air conditioning and heating and light, and they have created their own wonderful environment with the Scriptures. And others have not. Because God gave dominion in the material creation, and God gave dominion in the spiritual creation. And so, brethren, our eternal destiny is in our hands. It's up to us. And if we're having problems, then we need to go to the Scriptures. Jesus is the great physician. If we're spiritually sick, there's an antidote in the Scriptures for it. There's a Scripture that will help us with that. So God gave the gifts, but it takes our effort. So we're not victims at all. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Because of God? No, because of our faith. God gives the same opportunity to everyone, just like he does in the material creation. But it's our efforts to take dominion. Take dominion over prayer and pray. Take dominion over our worship of God and attend. Take dominion over the desire to save the lost by learning how to preach and teach individually as we talk to people. Take dominion over self-control by cutting it off and plucking it out and suffering and crucifying it. Take dominion over our fears by replacing them with the wonderful promises of God. Whatever your nightmares are, whatever your problems are, we are more than conquerors. It's in here. The truth is in here. The way to solve it is in here. The way to overcome it is in here. God's grace teaches us to take the initiative. We add or remain blind. God gave us the dominion to be in control. So that's why parables work. Because there's an affinity between the spiritual creation and the material creation. God used the spiritual creation as a pattern for the material creation. And many of the things that we so enjoy in this life, they will be enjoyed differently, but the same image of God will be utilized. So God's grace, verse 12, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. Who does that? Am I waiting for God to do it for me? Or am I taking, quote, the bull by the horns? Am I taking advantage of the opportunities to do this for myself? The grace of God does not teach us to rely on God and wait for him to do these things for us. The grace of God teaches us that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. We take the teachings of the gospel and apply them to our personal lives and our personal problems and find the solutions and create the technology. And I'm using that term in a relative way. But again, the technology is a good parable for what we should be able to do with the scriptures. So we are saved by grace through faith. Again, I'll let you look at those points. But if you read over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 where it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith," then it says, "We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God afore prepared that we should walk in them." Now the good works are adding those seven things to our faith. The good works are learning how to conquer our lusts, learning how to develop ourselves spiritually, learning how to become a vital part of the Lord's church and the Lord's kingdom and the Lord's plan. We can do that. Now, it's by grace that we're called into that kingdom, but once we're in here, whatever we choose to do, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, some are gold, some are silver, some are wood, hay, and stubble. Well, what's the difference? Our efforts, our works, our desire to take dominion over the things that can be taken dominion over in the gospel. We can take dominion over our sins. We can take dominion over the wonderful opportunities. I can take dominion over singing and making melody in my heart. I can take dominion over how I hear the scriptures and how I apply it. I can take dominion over how I take the Lord's Supper. Some are weak and sickly and even are dead. But others are strengthened because they've learned to take dominion over that period of time after they eat the bread and drink the fruit of the vine to do what needs to be done. And the same thing, we can take dominion over prayer, become powerful in prayer. We can take dominion over our giving, giving cheerfully and giving bountifully and giving ourselves first. These are all opportunities to take dominion. But God won't do it for us. We have to do it for ourselves. And so, brethren, as we prepare now to sing the song of encouragement, if I didn't hit you today, you're not human. If I didn't hit you today, you weren't listening. Because it hit me. We are not victims. And we can't just say, you know, the reason I'm like this is because of the way that God created me and there's nothing I can do. And I'm putting this in my voice because we're whining. We're whining or we're murmuring. Let us not murmur as some of them murmur. Let's don't sell ourselves short. If we have a sin, we can conquer it. If we have a weakness, God has given us the tools to develop it into a strength. If we have spiritual problems, we can overcome them. The dominion is in the scriptures, just like it is in the material creation. And it's up to us to take advantage of it. And boy, what a great song. All things are ready, come to the feast. God has given us a wonderful feast in the material creation and the spiritual creation. And the more dominion we take, the more feast we know it is. And the same thing in the spiritual realm. As you look at the Apostle Paul, you can see what the gospel can do. A man of integrity and honor, of joy and peace. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. When we take dominion, we gain those things. And so as we sing the song of encouragement this morning, look into your heart and see if there's something you need to start working on. And if you're not sure where to start, come to me or one of the older members of the congregation. We can give you what you need. But as we sing this song, if there's anyone in the audience who feels the need to become a Christian and be baptized or to confess their sins, then we would like to give you that opportunity while we now together stand and sing.